ABC Radio Australia.
Over in Tonga, aerial surveillance photos show that all homes on the outer island of Mungo have been destroyed, with extensive damage to the islands of Fonuifua and Atata. New Zealand has dispatched a naval vessel with relief supplies, while the Australia's HMS Adelaide is on standby in Brisbane. Tongans themselves are also leading the efforts, with hundreds of volunteers sweeping ash off the runway at Nuku'alofa so that it can be used for relief flights. The World Health Organization was among the first responders to the eruption and tsunami in Tonga. And joining me now from Suva is Sean Casey, who is the WHO's Health Cluster Coordinator for the Pacific. Good morning, Sean.
Good morning.
Sean, the World Health Organization's representative in Nuku'alofa, Dr. Yuta Satoya, not only experienced that volcano and tsunami, but also then responded to it. What has he been telling you about the situation on the ground?
That's right. I've been speaking with Dr. Yuta every few hours since Saturday evening when the eruption and tsunami occurred. What he's saying, we're communicating by satellite phone because all of the communications are down, as you've reported. There's no internet connectivity and the cell phones are only working for local voice calls, but we're able to communicate by satellite phone. And what he's seeing is that the coastal road in Tongatapu had some damage. And the western side of Tongatapu had some significant damage. But most of Nuku'alofa, most of the main island of Tongatapu is okay, but for significant ash fall. So on Tongatapu, the main challenge is really the ash, reopening the airport, and access to safe drinking water. He's also coordinating with the Ministry of Health and the National Emergency Management Office, NEMO, around support to the Ha'apai Islands that were most affected, and the Tonga Emergency Medical Assistance Team, which is Tonga's national emergency medical team, is already deployed yesterday to Namuka, and they'll be caring for the people from Namuka, but also from Mango and Fonuifua, who are being relocated there. So the relief operations are well underway, led by the Tongan government and WHO and other UN agencies, with staff on the ground already in Tonga are supporting those efforts.
And what did he tell you about on Saturday when it all unfolded? Was he ever in danger where he was?
He was not. He was away from the coastline, but we were communicating during the eruption. Actually, I could feel it here in Fiji. My house was shaking, and I messaged him on Microsoft Teams, and he was kind of telling me what they were feeling and seeing just around the explosions and the boom. And then communication by internet went off, and then later on we picked up by satellite phone. But he was safe. He was just reporting the ashfall and said that the government told people to stay inside, to avoid the ashfall, any respiratory impacts, and then to start using bottled water immediately. But he was never in immediate danger on the coastline.
Well, that's definitely good to know that he wasn't in any immediate danger. And obviously, yeah, being on the ground has able to turn his focus, I guess, now to really helping and supporting the people of Tonga. Now, with the airport's runway not being able to be used just at this moment because of that ashfall, how is the WHO intending to work around that? Or are you just waiting for that to open up before you can get sort of supplies in?
Well, yeah, I think all of the relief agencies are waiting for the airport to open, but we also have supplies being sent by sea from Australia and New Zealand, as you noted. But really, one of the great things that's happening right now is that Tonga is leading its own response. And we've worked with the Ministry of Health of Tonga over the last 4+ years as they've established their national emergency medical team. And TMAT, the Tonga EMT, is already in action. And so that's really kind of the optimal outcome for any emergency in the Pacific, is that countries can respond themselves. And meanwhile, we're providing advice around respiratory risks related to the ash and safe water and advising the public through the Ministry of Health on how to mitigate those risks. And we're supporting the Tonga EMT, and we'll continue to do that. At the moment, there are no supply requests that we're aware of related to health, but we know that there will be needs in shelter, particularly for those most affected islands in Ha'apai. And hopefully the ash fall, it seems to have subsided for now. And if it does not restart, if the eruption doesn't restart, and if there isn't more ash fall, a lot of the immediate water issues should be resolved in the next few days. So we're continuing to coordinate health and provide support as needed.
Well, that's really good news that if it doesn't continue erupting, that water supply might be safe and that all those issues subside in the next couple of days. I'm just wondering about the health, perhaps longer term health issues that can stem from something like an ash cloud and sulfur dioxide. Like you're saying, the Tongan governments advise people to stay indoors. What sort of issues does the WHO foresee that they might have to help with in terms of that area?
Well, I think the main issues at the moment, of course, were the respiratory issues, and the public's been advised to stay indoors or to use masks if they have to go outside. And that was particularly during the ashfall. And then there's the risk related to exposure to heavy metals in drinking water, because Tonga relies very heavily on rainwater for consumption. And so the immediate need is to really avoid drinking water from rainwater capture. The tanks may have been contaminated. The roofs are all covered in ash. And so it's really critical that people not drink that water that may have been contaminated with that ash. But those tanks can be cleared. And as more rain comes, rainwater will become safe in the next few days. More broadly, though, we know that there is huge damage in several of the islands in the Ha'apai group. And so the health services in those areas will need to be restored. It seems that some of those populations may be displaced for quite a while. And we always have the risk of infectious diseases. Of course, Tonga is COVID-free. And so one element that's really critical in the response right now is managing the risks related to COVID-19 as supplies and potentially personnel come in. At the moment, we don't know of any personnel deployments, but that's something else that we need to keep an eye on.
And what would the WHO advise to, if there are nations like Australia and New Zealand who are eventually asked to perhaps bring in supplies and aid and have personnel on the ground, what would you be advising in terms to mitigate the spread of any potential COVID-19 transmission?
Right. Well, Tonga's done very well over the last 2 years, as you know, remaining COVID-free. And I think that's a status that they want to try to maintain for as long as possible. It's becoming more and more challenging, and we're seeing more countries affected even in the last few days in the Pacific with COVID-19 cases being imported. So our advice is that really Tonga should continue using the risk mitigation measures that they've applied over the last 2 years and avoid, importation of cases as much as possible. There are needs. There are absolutely supply needs, and those supplies are being sent. But at the moment, we don't have any immediate requests for people to deploy. And if there are needs for technical experts, engineers, or otherwise to come in, there are ways that those risks can be managed, including through quarantine and other infection control measures. So we would advise Tonga to continue with the approach that it's taken and manage that risk as much as possible.
Sean Casey, thank you so much for bringing us those updates.
Thank you.
That's Sean Casey, who is the WHO's Health Cluster Coordinator for the Pacific, bringing us updates from his representative there on the ground in Tonga on how the recovery efforts are unfolding.